That was an unusual attitude in many ways, especially for crews which contained such large percentages of inexperienced landsmen. Sailors who'd been snapped up by the press gangs tended to resent being dragged away from their snug homes ashore and from wives and children who depended upon them for support. Given the risks of battle, not to mention the vagaries of disease or accident, the odds were little better than even that they would ever see those wives and children again. That was enough to break any husband or father's heart, but it didn't even consider the fact that their impressment generally rendered their families destitute overnight. There was no guarantee the ones they loved would manage to survive in their men's absence, and even if they did, hardship and hunger were all but guaranteed for most of them. Under the circumstances, it was scarcely surprising that, more often than not, pressed men had to be driven to their tasks, frequently with calculated brutality, until they fused into a cohesive ship's company. Sometimes they never achieved that fusion at all, and even many of those who eventually would find their places simply lacked the experience, so far at least, to understand why relentless training was important to them, and not simply to their demanding, hectoring officers and hard-fisted petty officers. That wasn't the sort of attitude which normally evoked cheerful eagerness for swarming up and down masts on an icy cold afternoon, when they could have been below decks out of the cutting wind. The attitude of Rockerize Company was quite different from that, however. In fact, it was different from that which would previously have been seen aboard almost any Dolaran warship with so many pressed men. Partly, that was because this time there'd been relatively little brutality, and that which had been employed had been carefully calculated, fitted to the circumstances which demanded it, and administered with ruthless equity. There'd still been at least a few incidents where it had been unnecessary, where a bosun's mate of the old school had resorted to the use of fists or the over-enthusiastic employment of his starter, a knotted length of rope used to whip laggards along. But they'd been remarkably few compared to what would have happened in most other Dolaran fleets. Partly, that was because so many of the Navy's old-school bosun's mates, and captains for that matter, had been lost in the disastrous campaign which had ended at Rock Point and Crag Hook. Mostly, though, it was because the fleet's new commander had explained his position on that particular point, among others, with crystalline clarity. And because it had turned out he'd actually meant it as well. So far, 11 captains who'd made the mistake of assuming he wasn't serious about his orders concerning unnecessary punishment or brutality had been relieved in disgrace. Given the fact that 2 of those captains had been even better born than the Earl, and that one of them had enjoyed the patronage of the Duke of Thurast himself, none of his remaining captains were inclined to doubt he'd meant what he said the first time. There was another reason as well, though, one that grew out of acceptance from below even more than out of restraint from above, and one which had won Earl Thirsk a degree of devotion almost unheard of among impressed seamen. No one knew exactly how word of it had gotten out, but it was common knowledge in the fleet that the Earl had personally argued that since the fleet was being manned for Mother Church's service, Mother Church ought to assume responsibility for the well-being of the pressed men's families. The wage of a common sailor in the Royal Dolaran Navy wasn't much, but Mother Church would see to it that the money was paid directly to a man's family during his absence, if that was his request. More than that, and totally unprecedented, the Church had promised to pay a pension to the widow of any impressed seaman who died on active service, and to provide for the support of his minor children as well. All of which helped to explain why there were remarkably few groans of resignation as the captain and the admiral returned to Rockerize poop deck and the captain reached for his speaking trumpet yet again. Up, topgallant masts!